Hey guys, this is Liv Matthews, and you're listening to the Southern Shade Podcast, previously called As I Live and Bree. Just to let you know, episodes 1 through 5 were hosted by myself and Bree Walters, who decided to leave the podcast. We replaced her with my best good friend, Jay Jansen. And to let you know, the audio quality does get better after we upgrade our equipment in about episode number 11. Thanks guys for the listens.
Coming from their home studio, straight into your ear hole, you are now listening to As I Live and Bree, with Liv Matthews and Bree Walters.
Hey guys, welcome back to As I Live and Bree. This is Liv Matthews.
And Jay Jansen.
So we are back, and this past week has been a shit show with the stuff that's been happening at the Capitol. And I'm going to tell you, the only positive thing is that I was mildly attracted to the guy with the no shirt on, horns.
He was called Dances with Wolves type thing.
Kind of like a Jason Momoa.
But okay, so not hot Jason Momoa.
Right. Yeah. Like a broke down country bumpkin Jason Momoa.
So the broke back mountain version of Jason Momoa is what
you say. Right. Oh my god. You made me choke.
I'm so sorry.
I got a little phlegmy.
Little phlegmy.
Little Timmy's cousin.
Horrible.
We laughed entirely too hard. Earlier, Jay got choked, and she was like, oh my god, I'm a little phlegmy. And in response, I said, is that little Timmy's cousin? And you know how, like, you just have one of those stupid moments, and you just laugh and laugh?
Oh yeah, like among friends, like that was totally one of those.
Yeah, we laughed entirely too hard.
No one else would have thought it was funny, but we were laughing our asses off.
For some reason, that was just funny to me. I don't know. This week, I had a little incident at the subway, you know, where I work. They have a subway in the hospital, and
like on the subway or like the restaurant subway?
Okay, so like the restaurant subway. So I go down there, and usually the manager, she's a little bitchy. I'll be honest. She's just a little bitchy. She's professional, but she's always just a little
she's
bitchy.
She's a professional bitch is what I'm hearing you say.
Right. I mean, like
she's
never
really good at it.
Yeah. She's never like overly nice, but she does her job and she does it well. So I give her a pass. It's fine. Even though I've talked to her, like tried to make small talk, she's just not having it, which is fine. As long as you do my sandwich and get me out of there, whatever. So this particular time I had ordered my sandwich and this guy comes in behind me, you know, we're 6 feet social distancing or whatever. So he orders like a Philly cheesesteak with pepperoni, which sounds gross to me.
That sounds totally gross to me too.
But, you know, to each their own. And so she says, no.
No, what is she, the pepperoni Nazi? Like, no soup for you.
I guess. So I was like, how is this going? So of course I'm looking, I'm just like, yes, you know, some drama. Because, you know, everything's been, I don't know, just free of drama for me. I don't like to be in it, but I sure do like to hear it. So I'm one of those people. He was just like, no, that's what I want. And so she was just all like, all right, but you know.
Who does she think she is? Does she get, to, I mean, she's literally the sandwich Nazi at this point.
I agree. So, but now, you know, I love pepperoni. My sandwich should not have pepperoni on it, the one that I ordered. But now I want a side of pepperoni just because this guy was just like, yes, I'm having pepperoni on my sandwich. So I said, I'm so sorry. Is there any way I can get a side of pepperoni? In which she stopped and is like, what? Can I get a side of pepperoni? She's like, you want it on your sandwich? No, I want it on a side. Like just if you just put it in like a little of that plastic, whatever it is, wrap it up. I'll take it as a side. And she said, we don't do that.
What do you mean you don't do that? Put it on my fucking sandwich and then immediately take it off and put it in another package.
I mean, like, whatever you need. I mean, I was confused at it because, like I said, she had never had any witty banter with me in the past. So I'm just like, I don't know what's going on here. So she's like, no, we don't do it. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, like, I don't need the pepperoni, so it's not that big of a deal. She says, the only way that we do side is if I toss it in your mouth and you catch it.
Okay, I'm game. I really wanted some pepperoni.
So I thought she was joking, though. I was just like, so I laughed. Yeah, you're so funny. Because we're, like, I mean, the line is all the way out until the hall. I mean, like, everybody, like, all the employees go there, like, family members, patients, everybody is. So she's like, oh, no, I'm being serious. Pull down your mask. I'm going to throw this in your mouth. If you catch it, you get your side. If you don't, you don't get it. So
this lady's legit ready to lob pepperoni at you across the counter.
Yes. So she frisbees it because I pulled down my mask. And
so
I'm not.
You did this.
I did. Well, I mean, I felt. Yeah, I mean, like, challenge on, you know, don't come for me, bitch, because I will reciprocate. So she frisbees the shit in my mouth. And, you know, as a fat girl, I try not to bring attention to myself, especially at eateries. But now everybody is watching me. And she frisbees a piece of pepperoni in which, in order to, because it wasn't a great, like, frisbee, you know, I had to go down into, like, a deep squat and, like, shank to the side and coat it with my mouth, like, arr.
No, you did not.
And everybody clapped. And, of course, my face got red as I don't know what. And everybody
at this
thought,
point, you should have owned that shit and took a freaking bow, girl.
I should have.
Moment.
I should have, but I was a little embarrassed because, you know, they were like, of course the fat girl called it. You know, like, you know, my trauma and issues in the back of my head. But anyway, the guy that was beside me, the one that ordered.
You made some people's day. Like, legitimately, they're going home and like, honey, how was your day? The craziest crap happened to me today. I'm in the subway and this lady, like, legit takes pepperoni straight to the face.
Yes. And I was just, but the guy that was beside of me, who would give me the inspiration to ask for pepperoni, he was just all like, as we're walking out, he was just all like, that was a great catch, man. It was a great catch. The throw was off, but you still brought it home. You know, like, it was like
a That's what this world is about.
Yes. I was just like, wow. Well, you're welcome, fella. And I got the pepperoni for free. She gave me like 3 or 4 more slices.
She wanted to see you do tricks for pepperoni and you fell for it.
I sure did. She was just all like, you know, dance, monkey dance. And I was just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know?
You did. You did your thing, girl. You did your thing.
I did. But it was delicious pepperoni and I enjoyed my lunch. But so on my way back to go up to my floor, I am getting on the elevator, right? And there's a guy that is standing there in the elevator because, you know, you're supposed to let people off before you get on. And he's like an older gentleman, like dressed nicely, but he's like looking around, like almost like confused, like, and he's just standing there, just super confused looking. And so I said, are you coming off? You know, because I didn't want to be rude and just step on in if he was coming off. He looks at me and gets an attitude and was just all like, oh no, I guess I'm just going to ride the elevator up and down.
I mean, you do you, boo. That's what I would have said.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to help you out. If you were not getting off the elevator, then we'll ride it together. I don't really care. So I asked him that. So he gets off. And of course, the elevator is still full with, I think, like 2 other people because, you know, we're trying to keep the size and the elevator small. In which, you know, I got a big mouth. I was just all like, rude. He was a grumpy little thing, wasn't he? And this lady tells me behind, oh, that's Dr. So-and-so. And I said, are you serious? That's not like a family member, like an old elderly gentleman, like visiting somebody. That's legit a doctor. And she was like, yeah, turns out he has had some confusion and like, in the past couple months, and they took his license away, driver's license. So his wife has to drive him to work every single day. So I'm just like, so he can't drive, but he's okay to practice medicine? What?
Oh, that is liability waiting to happen. Like, I don't see how this is a thing.
I was shocked and appalled. So I was just like, what? So anyway, I dove into it a little further. Turns out he just does a little research. Essentially, people are...
Okay, so he's not physically treating patients.
Yeah, he's not. Essentially, they're just...
Humoring him and letting him to come to work to have something to do.
Yeah, I know that's mean to say, but essentially that's kind of what's happened. So good for him.
I think that's the thing with the people who have, you know, dementia or things of that nature. Like, they do get super upset. Well, obviously, you know this. You're in the medical field. I don't need to tell you this whole
thing. Yeah, but that's true. Is that sometimes they do, you know, get upset. But I thought that this one, it's not like I was challenging him. It's not like I asked him a question from the past. It was just, are you getting off the elevator? So that I didn't block his way getting on. Because, you know, we're still COVID. We're still trying to social distance. And it's just appropriate to let somebody off the elevator first. And because he's right there at the door and kind of acting confused and looking around, I just said, are you getting off, sir? And well, sinks, you know, just goes off. But anyway, I was just like, I am so glad it is Friday because I am done. So that was the end to my week. What about yours? Did you have anything interesting happen?
Well, your HR nightmare. Turns out I'm in charge of running a company. Mm-hmm. So I am an HR nightmare. I know this.
Yes.
I know this about myself.
Right.
HR legitimately sits beside me in my office because I am an HR nightmare.
Right.
Only because you've been friends with me forever. Our listeners really don't know a lot about me, but I don't have a filter.
Right.
Very little of a filter. I have enough filter not to get myself into like extreme situations.
Mm-hmm.
However, things just randomly pop out of my mouth. So we're in the middle of a staff meeting. We're supposed to get inclement weather. They're talking about snow and things of that nature. And so my shipping guy pipes up and he's like, well, I heard we could get up to 6 inches. Intro J. To which my immediate response was a little bit louder than it should have been. Not completely under my breath.
Right.
Maybe at normal monotones. Maybe I say, well, that's the only fucking way I'm going to get 6 inches.
Oh,
and so right. And so everyone in the office turns around and HR is kind of like looking like she's legitimately in the middle of a staff meeting and start talking about sex. But, you know, I mean, it happens.
Right. And to be honest, you just said that's the only way I'm getting 6 inches. You didn't say 6 inches of what?
Of what? You're right. And that's what I did bring to HR's attention later. I'm really not that bad that I have to have HR manage me on the regular. So please don't think that I am. But it has been a comical thing in our office that I say that I sit beside HR because I'm so bad.
Well, everybody tells me, I was like, Liv, I'm not sure how you're not fired yet. I was like, because you need to know when to say it and what to say and who to say it to. Like, you know, you got your little coworkers. Y'all could tell each other, you know, stuff. Per se, you wouldn't go up to HR and be all like, hey, that's the only way I'm going to get 6 inches of dick, you know?
Right. You probably want to piece. I mean, I use my filter in appropriate ways.
Yeah, I think we all do at some point.
Or my lack thereof. I'm kind of like the, and I'm really going to date myself when I say this. So you remember when we were kids and we had the Mike Ill Eat Anything?
Yes.
Commercials?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the Mikey of the everyone else wanted to say it, but no one had the balls to say it. But like, give it to Jay. She'll say it.
Yes.
Like, give her a few minutes and Jay's going to say it.
See, I do the same. I usually will get the consensus of everybody's thoughts. Nobody wants to say them. Everybody's scared. Like, they oppose something or don't like something. They'll tell me. And then when we have a staff meeting, I'm the one that brings them all up. It kind of sucks because they're free and clear. But if anybody has any repercussions, they usually come back to me and be like, well, you're the one who brought it up. I was like, no, I just brought it up because this was the consensus of the group that didn't feel comfortable bringing it up, but I do. So I think that sometimes that's not fair, but you're right. Having a filter in some points, but also being able to voice what is going on, I think that's a great quality that people really need, but they don't have.
Yeah, a lot more people should definitely say how they feel about things. I mean, so many people want to sugarcoat things, really have the world perceive them in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't give a shit. Either you like me full pull or you don't. And I found that, you know, a lot of times in staff meetings, if something's said, I think that my employees probably at this point in time know how I will react to something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the whole full head swivel.
Right.
You know, like when something's said, they're like, oh shit, what's Jay going to say about this? So I've kind of got that reputation throughout my whole entire career, honestly. I don't really hate it though. I like the freedom of, I'm going to say what I want to say. Am I going to look for a more appropriate manner to deliver? Absolutely. And I've
got the same message.
It's coof and tact. And I've gotten a lot more of that as the older that I've gotten. I enjoy that aspect of myself. It took me a lot of years to get to the point where, you know, I could actually freely speak and say, you know what? I don't fucking like it when you do this. I don't fucking like it when you treat me this way. I don't like it when, you know, this is not the forum we're going to stand on as a company or anything of that nature. Like, I like that aspect of myself. It's very freeing to me. And I think that it's a lot of stuff that I would hoard and bottle in that now I'm just like, I don't like it.
And I think that more people need to be like that. However, just kind of like with the social media like aspect, is that a lot of people think that everybody has an opinion. You know, the old saying that opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. So many people put out their opinions and they should, you know, be able to say whatever they think. I just don't think that people in response should be so offended and automatically go on these like Twitter rants and like Facebook and Instagram rants about it. Like, those those memes that offend people. Like, I'm in, like, some of the dark nursing humor. I think it's funny, the majority of them. And the ones that I thought that was not, I just kept scrolling. I didn't comment, like, oh, my God, or report it. But I don't do that. I think that if you see something or you hear something that you don't like,
fucking walk away. Turn around, walk away. Or be like, you know, if it's someone that you're obviously close with in your friend circle or what have you, and they say something that you don't like, you can sidebar them and be like, I didn't like the way that you handled this or the way that you said things. That's called being a fucking adult.
Right.
You know? And if something bothers you on social media, fucking keep scrolling.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect the fact that you can pay your bills or that your children are if it doesn't affect you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, shut the fuck up.
Right. And not everything, just because you have an opinion, not everything needs your opinion.
It doesn't need a response from you.
Mm-mm.
You know? I mean, you know, you and I over the years have had difference of opinion on things. I mean, we've respectfully been like, I don't agree with you in that instance, and this is why, but we've handled it as mature adults.
Right. We had a conversation about it. I didn't just come out and like call you names and accuse you of things like they do on social media. I mean, absolutely not. Matter of fact, I saw a post I thought was funny. It turns out a lot of people did not. So it's a girl. She got spray tan and, or allegedly got spray tan. And then you can see that there's visible streaks going down her face, mostly on her neck. And then like the caption said something like, make sure that when your, you know, person busts a nut on your face, that it's not right after a spray tan. I found it funny.
Liv, you have been a personal victim to this.
Yes, it did happen to me, which maybe this is the reason why I thought it was so funny. Not the busting the nut on the face, but Jay and I went to get our spray tan. I think she had had one a couple times. This was my first time ever going. And while they're like spray tanning me and everything like that, everything was going fine. I wore bathing suit bottoms, but I did not wear a bathing suit top. In which the reason why I never went back is because they asked me to lift my breasts. I guess that's when I dart of, you know, the breasts not being as perky as they used to be. And when you have bigger breasts, that happens. But I was like, lift my breast? You know, and they were like, yes, ma'am, please lift your breast. I was like, oh, yes, ma'am. And so I flopped them babies over my shoulder. But Jay was with me, and she did not get asked to lift her breast. However, she has got a donk. I do not. I've got like a flat board back there. She's got a little bit of a donk, and they had to make her bend over to get her smile lines, because when you bend over and you, where your crease, the hip crease, your butt and your leg meet, it's like a little crease there, and the self-tanner stuff does not get in. So when she bends over, it looks exactly like a smile, which I kind of like.
Well, you know, everyone is faced with this. Like, how many times have you been sitting on the beach and the lady in the bathing suit in front of you bends over? Clearly, she's been tanning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's got the full-on whitey white underneath her butt cheeks. A few times of seeing this,
at this point, I realize that that is actually a real thing and it happens.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't tan anymore, but when I did, like, I would purposely, like, have a whole session where I actually just sat on the bed.
Oh, same. I would, like, have to twist and turn and get contort and, like, do all these things just to make sure that I got everything so I wouldn't have an issue. But when we got the tanner, you know, they told us that we had to, what was it, like 8 hours that you're not supposed to, like, shower, you weren't supposed to do anything like that.
I don't remember the time. It was 4 hours, 8 hours, maybe not until the next morning. I don't remember what the semantics were on that.
So I listened to them, and I didn't. But, like I said, I was hungry on my way home. So I stopped at Burger King, and at that time, I guess I was into Whoppers. So I got me a Whopper, big juicy Whopper, and I'm eating it in the car, and of course, the goo gets on my face, and in which I took the napkin and just done like a circular motion around my mouth. So
now you're full on looking like a blow up doll.
Right, you made fun of me so hard, you'd be like, what is going on there? And I was like, I wiped off the mayonnaise from the Whopper, and I think it took off my self-tanner. And you were just like, oh God, oh gosh.
Yeah, she was going to have to get some makeup to touch that up for, you know, however long the self-tanner lasts. I mean,
like, things like that happen to me all the time. Like,
and me too.
Stupid, like, stuff like that. And so I called back the lady and asked her, I was like, oh my gosh, is there any way that you guys can touch this up? And she's like, no, there's no really any way, because the area around it won't match up. Like, it'll be extra on that area. So essentially you'll go from having a white area to a tan area, but with like a darker ring around your mouth. So I don't want it to look like I've been sucking on a cup or something.
Speaking of looking the most, the very last time, and I do mean the last time that I was spray tanned, it was for my dad's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my skin is very pale. It's you're coming up on this. I hadn't had time to tan, to be out in the sun, was working a lot at the time. So I was like, I'll just get spray tan, wedding. So literally 2 days before my dad's wedding, I decide to run into one of these spray tan booths, get spray tan. You know, we're determining the color and what would look best for me. And immediately when I get in the car, I look like I'm straight out of Willy Wonka's factory. I'm looking like Oompa Loompa.
And it's probably going to get darker, right?
Oh, it most certainly did get dark. Oh, so the bronzing agent wasn't put in, or maybe too much. I don't know. But legitimately, I'm looking like a tabby cat at this point. And I'm like, oh, shit. Well, my dad's getting married in 2 days. Like, I'm in the wedding party. You know, I'm going to be up in front of the whole entire church, you know, looking like an Oompa Loompa. So this wasn't okay for me. So immediately I go home and shower.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't one of those times where that would immediately take it off. So now I'm just a lighter shade of orange at this time, if you will. So, I mean, legitimately, over the course of the next 12 hours, I've taken like 22 showers. I look like a striped Oompa Loompa. It was horrible. It was very horrible.
Well, what did you end up doing? Because the photos were like beautiful.
Well, I actually had to go to the store and buy like some over-the-counter bronzer and then like incorporate that into the shower, this whole bronzing process to actually make my skin look normal.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'll be honest. Like the photos, like I know that you went through a lot, but the photos were beautiful. You like your skin looked great. I mean, I didn't like stare and like, you know,
if you would have gotten close to me and like actually touched my skin, it would have been physically painful. I had done loofah and everything else. Oh, like goodness. I had tore my shit completely up in this whole entire process. Like, I mean, my skin was like physically like kind of, you know, a little sensitive to the touch, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, spray tan for me is always going to be a no moving forward. For you, it's the lifting of the breasts. For me, it is, I don't want to come out and sing a song every few minutes when shit gets real.
Yeah. I don't think that I'm new to loofah and do all that stuff. So I just walked around looking a hot mess.
Well, no one recommends that. Like, that's not something like, and let me tell you, it does not freaking work. Okay. So you would have looked like a striped blow up doll with, you know, an identity crisis or something of that matter. But yeah, to this day, I just can't. I cannot. Spray tan is just not for me.
Well, so, you know, we have always done various things. Like, yeah, we're always kind of like, hey, man, I've never done this. Let's do this.
You will talk me into some ratchet shit every fucking time. But with that being said, I, in turn, talked you into the spray tan. So, I mean, I get it. It's like a give-take thing with us.
Right. But whose idea was it for the tongue pierced?
You wanted to get your tongue pierced. I thought, what an excellent idea. So, I have to tell the story. This was the absolute most. So, Liv and I, we graduated high school together. And so, you know, as most high school seniors do, you take off to the beach for a week or...
Yeah, senior week.
Right. So we're on our way to the beach for senior week. And it took us like all night long to drive there, first and foremost, because Jay, and I will call myself out on this, mm-hmm. at that point in time in my life was probably not Magellan. I was not a great navigator.
We went in the wrong direction to get to the beach.
It freaking made sense to me at the time.
Well, clearly it made sense to me. I mean, this is like kind of before like GPS and cell phones and things like that. So we're just kind of like, I don't know, but we went around our asshole to get to our elbow to get to the beach. But in that, we decided to stop at a club because I had just recently turned 18. Jay had already been 18. So we were like, well, while we're on the way to the beach, why don't we just stop at this club? We'll go in. That way we just say that we've been there, we did it, you know.
Because I totally waited for you to turn 18 so I could have my first club experience.
Right, yeah.
That whole entire, whenever we started this, like, our whole entire senior week was a fucking nightmare. We should have gotten it when we went the wrong way, first and foremost. We go to the club and legitimately, and I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, every gentleman that we met that night, his name was Larry.
Oh, yes. I think it was a thing. I don't know. Were they punking us? Or do you think that just...
Well, punking wasn't around back then. And like, legitimately, that's a lot of people in a club to talk. It was just bizarre. It might have been some meeting like of the Larrys or something. I don't know.
I don't know, like a fraternity or something.
Like a Larry convention.
He's like, hey, man, like, we're all Larry tonight, okay?
Right. But these, you know, they were different people. Like they weren't together. Like everybody who was together was not named Larry, obviously. So it was just random people that we ran across. Their name was Larry. It was kind of surreal that we would be like, fucking, you know, one more and I'd been like, let me guess, your fucking name's Larry, right?
Right.
So that was a whole shit show. We legitimately stopped for breakfast, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the Awful House.
The Awful House.
Because the W was like knocked out. That should have been like a sign because when we got there, the place was not that clean. You know, most Waffle Houses are okay, but this one was the Awful House.
Yeah, well, it's not like it's a great... I think that you have to be really drunk to appreciate the Awful House.
I'll be be honest, like, I used to think that way. Now, maybe my standards have just lowered. Sometimes I do like to get a waffle every once in a while, and I do like theirs. I don't know what they put in it, but it's delicious. But yes, I do believe it really did hit, you know, a certain spot when we would go out clubbing and go to the Waffle House afterwards. Although, you know, that one guy did get stabbed at one time.
The time that you wanted the whole pie?
Yes.
So we're sitting and I have to laugh because another one of our friends that was with us that night, this is her absolute favorite story. And so we're sitting there, you know, as most drunks do, when you leave the club, you go to the Waffle House or Huddle House or whatever it is in your city, you know, truck stop, what have you. So we're sitting there, and so the waitress comes up to take our order. Liv asks what kind of pies that they had, and the waitress tells us, and so Liv goes, okay, I would like the chocolate pie. Yeah. And she was like, okay, slice the pie. And Liv goes, no, honey, I want the whole pie. And the waitress is just dumbfounded for like a whole, like, legitimately mouth open for 3 minutes, just, I, like, she didn't even know what to say at this point. We're fucking rolling, you know, but we know you're legit. Like, that's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
So pie comes out, shit goes down back behind us and a couple booths back behind us, and some dude ends up getting stabbed and blood's flying. And so blood goes in Liv's pie and she's pissed off because she didn't get to get her pie. That was a whole other fiasco.
Yeah, I'm so pissed because clearly I just ordered the whole pie. I don't know which blood went where. I just know that I've got blood on my hand because it squirted or something. I don't know. I had to wash my hands, and the little worker there was like, just come wash your hands here, which is where they wash their dishes. I'm now thinking that was probably not a good idea, but I mean, at the time,
it's the freaking Waffle House. Like, you have to have a certain immunity to eat there anyway, I feel.
Right. If not, you know, it's a survival of the fittest.
It really is. It really is. So, okay. So,
yeah. So, no more pie. I've already ordered all of it, but it's possibly contaminated with blood. So now I'm just sitting there, just a fat girl pissed, and now the cops are coming. But thank goodness, not for me this time. So
yeah, so back to the senior week story.
Mm-hmm.
So we've legitimately went to the club, met every Larry in the Charlotte metro area, went to the Awful House. We finally make it to Myrtle Beach. What is it, 7:30 in the morning at this point?
It was pretty early, yeah, because nothing was open.
Nothing was open, and you obviously couldn't check into your room, so we're trying to reconnect with a couple of our friends. We finally make that happen. Finally, at some point in time, get checked into the room. And so Liv looks at me and like, I'm going to get my tongue pierced. And I was like, well, you know what? That doesn't sound like a bad idea. I think I'd like to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when it's something that I really don't want to do, but I feel like I'm kind of, maybe because you're doing it, I'm going to do it too.
Yeah.
I make Liv go first. She gets her tongue pierced. Things go perfectly.
Right. Yeah. Everything was fine. It didn't hurt too bad. It was in and out. It was fine.
So I'm asking her, like, did it hurt? And she's like, nah, it's all right. You know, so I sit down to get mine done, and the lady legitimately does her thing, clamps my tongue, sticks the needle through, goes to put the barbell through, and immediately pulls the needle out. It's the barbell at this point in time is not in my tongue. So I've got the clamp. You've just basically stuck a fucking needle through my tongue for no fucking reason.
For no reason, right.
Since the Waffle House, which was probably about 1 a.m. in the morning, I'm guessing, maybe a little bit sooner than that, it's now like 6 p.m. I've not had any food nor drink because we were on the quest for our friends and, you know, waiting to check into our hotel and things of that nature. I probably have low blood sugars, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's what happened. So then the lady looks at me and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to do it again. So she reinserts the needle, this time manages, bless her heart, to get a freaking barbell in there, put the top, you know, screws the top on the barbell. And so she's like, what do you think? And Liv's looking at me like, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up and the lady who pierced my tongue is straddled me, smacking me in the face. And Liv is back behind her doing some kind of cha-cha-cha with a Coke in her hand, looking extremely worried. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And legit, I have the, what the fuck did just happen? Liv, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And bitch, if you smack me one more time, we're about to have a problem.
Right. It was like, it's a big free-for-all. So Jenny, she's sitting there, everything is completed. They said, how are you doing? She's like, I'm good. And about that time, it's just almost like, you know, like one of those the guys would be like, and sleep, and they like snapped her fingers. It was almost
exactly like that. So she would just be like, oh, and she just kind of like laid back, like nothing bad, just kind of laid back. Go get her a Coke, go get her a Coke. So I run up to the front of the place, and I'm just like, they're asking for a Coke, I need a Coke. And they were like, I don't have a Coke, you know, you'll have to go. So I'm like running down the street trying to get
get her a coat. At this time, I'm not anything medical. I did not know what to do. Of course, I would handle it a lot better now that I'm a nurse, but I'm just saying, I'm running down the strip of Myrtle Beach trying to find a Coke right quick. I found one, paid for it, came back, and I'm standing in the back, like, dancing around like a kid, like, I got the Coke, I got the Coke, I got the Coke.
Let me get in the door.
Yeah, I got the Coke. And then she comes, hey, what is going on? You know, like, nothing happened. Like, nothing.
Well, I legitimately felt like, I had the sense of, like, I knew that I'd close my eyes, but I felt like, legitimately, like, that's just the time span that had passed for me. Like, I'd shut my eyes and I'd immediately open them back.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you're running through half of Myrtle Beach at this point, and, you know, there's all this extra shit going on in the background when you're trying to locate me a Coke. But, needless to say, because the lady pierced my tongue twice in the same 5-minute time span, my tongue swelled, like, extremely large.
Like, it swelled so bad that I legitimately had teeth impressions on the top and the bottom on the sides of my tongue, or for the top and the bottom on the sides of my tongue.
Yeah, like, legit couldn't hardly eat anything. So we're there for, like, a week.
No, we were supposed to be there
So we were supposed to be there for a week. I don't know. Like, so we had to go to the grocery store. We got, like, chocolate pudding because that's easy for her to swallow. We got, like, little snacks, like, stuff that was just going to be easy for her to eat or whatever. We also got some, like, Tylenol and ibuprofen because of the swelling starting to kind of pull on the back of her throat, the ligaments that hold the tongue. And so she's not feeling so great. She can't eat. You name it. It's a lot.
Right. So day 3 into our 7 or 8 day trip, whatever it happened to be, I was like, do you want to go home? She's like, yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah.
So we said, fuck this. Fuck the beach. Fuck senior week. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
And home we went.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the last time we ever went to the beach together. What is wrong with that?
I don't know. But here's the thing.
Because we go to the beach with everybody else, but we have never been. We traumatized each other.
I think that we did. Subconsciously, that's why I've never went on another vacation with you, I guess, because of that instance.
I promise I won't make you get your tongue pierced.
We're not getting anything pierced. We're grown now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not getting anything pierced if we go anywhere together, or we're not skydiving or anything like that. I just think that.
No.
You know, and if our second trip ends up being like our first trip, we're out at this point. It just would not be designed for us to travel.
Exactly. That would be the straw that broke the camel's back. We would have to just be all like, nope, no more.
All right. So we're going to make an action item this time. We're definitely going on vacation together.
Okay, yeah, we're definitely going on vacation together again because we have to at this point.
Well, now that you've brought it to my attention, yeah, we obviously have to.
Yeah, just to kind of see if fate, like, is it just, you know, is that the reason why we never went on vacation? Because we tried to go on vacation another time and everything was ready. I was, you know, got the hotel or whatever. And then I got robbed.
Oh, right.
They, like, stole, like, $1,400 from me or something like that. I got robbed and I was all like, we can't go now because I don't have any spending money. But yeah, it was a lot. Karma is just something.
Okay, well, so we'll go somewhere local and just kind of test the waters on this, because I mean, really, at this point in time, because now you've described the second event that didn't come to fruition because you got robbed.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to get on an aircraft carrier with you of any kind.
I get it. I wouldn't want to either. Yeah. I mean, it's totally valid.
So we'll try local, you know, just a short weekend trip. And if that is actually, like, we've grown past all of the dilemmas that come with being who we are.
Yes.
Then we'll proceed to larger vacations.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that's good. So, girl, I'm going to tell you, some of the stuff, I like, you know, when we're talking and stuff, like, I start thinking, like, oh my goodness.
We've been through.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
Like, I really want to say how long we've been friends, and I really don't want to say that, because at that point in time, people are going to be like, these ladies are almost geriatric at this point, but.
Right. Yeah, they're just about like, oh, so they're 72 years old. No, we're not.
We're middle-aged.
30 plus.
Yeah, 30 plus shipping and handling. Well, you know what? We're midlife. You know, we're not to the point of midlife crisis, although I've had my fair share of those.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our kids are still in school, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, I mean, we're...
most of them, like, we've got 40 of them.
Yeah, those other 20 that don't count. Well, you know, with, like, all the infomercials and things like that, I'm pretty sure I adopted some children along the way.
The arms of the angels.
That's the whole pet thing. That one gets me every time. Every time.
I don't know why it touches such a... I should probably do some research. And because, you know, the commercials, like all these other things, they have a specific criteria and like a little algorithm that will grab your attention and elicit the response response that they need. I just want to know how they know which one's which. I mean, clearly that's a sad song and it pulls out the heartstrings. But I mean, there's all kinds of reasons on, you know, why they put the little items at the grocery store while you're checking out, like little, like not so expensive items.
Oh yeah, there's like consumer things that as a marketer, like, you know that, oh yeah, well, I do need a bottle of Tylenol.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do need a pack of gum because it's right here.
But you've got to know that for, you know, even like social media, for commercials, things like that, they've got to have done some type of research to know how they're playing us.
Well, you know, they are playing us, but I think that the probably the most epic fail is the aisle at Walmart where you check out and it's the whole as seen on TV aisle.
Yes.
I don't freaking watch commercials, first and foremost. And you know what killed me with those?
Oh.
The freaking no-no commercial. Do you remember the no-no?
Oh, was it the hair thing?
It was the hair thing. Yeah. And so it was just like, no, 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 no. Fuck you. Like, I get it.
Yeah, by the second no, I'm annoyed.
It exactly.
It's a no.
It annoyed the shit out of me. They played it on fucking repeat, nonstop, all the freaking time, especially at like key times, like holiday season when you're spending more time in front of the TV because you're home more.
Yeah.
And things like that. Whew. The no-no wore me out.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I like to watch news reporters, any announcer people, because I think they all go to the same class for hand motions. So it's almost always like hand down, almost like a clacker, you know, like they're like, and you know, this, they always have the same hand motions. Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you can explain it better. It'd be better if you guys could see me, but you can't.
Yeah, she's back here doing the most. If you could see her in the studio right now.
I've ever got like sign language going on. I don't know.
She's throwing like gang symbols and all kinds of things over here. So.
But like, I feel that they all went to the same class to learn the hand signals that they're supposed to do to convey. I mean, I did see like something on like, if you want to convey like power, put your hands together, almost a praying but spread apart while you're in a meeting. So, I mean, I'm sure that there's a bunch of research. I probably should learn all that and just manipulate the fuck out of people.
Well, you don't need any help manipulating the fuck out of people with.
Oh, rude.
Well, I'm not being rude, but historically speaking, you talked me into some ratchet shit in my life.
But secretly, there's a part of you that wanted to do it.
Obviously. And I need you to drag that out. We're not talking about that at this point in time. We're talking about your manipulative personality.
Going back to my therapist, Ellen, I tell you, like, Ellen, she called me out, man. No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, most of the time do I get people to do what I want them to do? But I feel like they're not badass. Like, it's not like a big thing, like, go get me $1 million. It's just, I need you to be, you know, honest with me. I need you to do your work. You know, just things like that. Things that people should do anyway. In my latter years, I normally don't ask people to go get piercings and things like that.
No, but like, we'll be out in public. Mm-hmm. And so, especially if you've had a few drinks, you know, kind of grease the wheels, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be like, go talk to that dude and tell him blah, 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 blah.
Yes,
I'll be like, no, I don't really, go in, you know, and she like, she's relentless in it, you know, until you're just like, fuck it, if you'll shut up, I'll go do it, but.
Right, right. Well, you are right in that aspect. I've tried to be a little better about it, but sometimes that little devil, you know, that sits on my shoulder is just all like, let's just see how this plays out.
You will instigate shenanigans in a heartbeat.
I know, but it's so fun. And it's, you always have a good time.
It's fun to you. Although I will say the last few years, the more cooperative I've been, you know, as far as that goes, you're like, go tell them, I'm going.
You just needed the suggestion. You know, you're just all like, oh, hold my beer. I got you, boo. Say less. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, this escalated. I was not sure it was going to go that way, but I am thoroughly entertained.
Well, you know, that's been the whole basis of our friendship. Is me entertaining you.
Kind of.
Yeah. And you entertaining me in turn.
No, just mostly you entertaining me.
Well, there's been some.
I just like to like sit back and just laugh at your antics. I suggest things and then you just like go and like take it to the most and like places I never thought it was going to go. And I'm like, yes, queen.
Well, I think that old me, like younger me, was more naive and shy and quite not so outspoken. And I wouldn't say certain things to people. And
yeah.
Because of how that they would perceive
receive them, and I really cared what people thought. These days, I'm like, nah, I got you, boo.
I wish I didn't care what people thought, but unfortunately, I still do. I'm working on it, though. I'm being less, because I realize that those are the traumas and triggers within myself that I have. Like, matter of fact, I saw something the other day, and it said, say you were a super tall person. You're like 7 foot tall, and somebody walked up to you and said, you're short. You would probably just look at them like they're crazy, right?
Right.
Because you know that you're tall. And at the same time, if somebody walks up to me and says, you're ugly, and I take offense to that, then essentially that's my issues. I mean, yeah, they've got issues too, the fact that they would say that, but it's my issues. The fact that I signed on to that and believed what they had to say. If I was confident in myself and knew that I was a tall person, I wouldn't care. So if I was confident and knew that I was a beautiful person on the inside and, you know, was okay with myself, then when somebody comes up and calls me ugly, I just look at them just like the tall person being called short.
Okay, that's your opinion. They're like assholes. Everyone has one.
Right. Good luck to you. Right. I hope your life gets better. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I'm constantly striving to be that person, to not sign on to other people's trauma.
And I think that's important. And I think that maybe, you know, the latter part of my life, I've kind of signed on to my own. I drank my own Kool-Aid, if you will.
Yeah. Mine had a little sign on in it.
So you were Jim Jones is what I'm hearing.
Glad.
Never drink the Kool-Aid when Liv is around. Definitely spiked.
Maybe good, maybe bad.
You never know.
That's right.
Just see what happens.
I'd like to have some cherry Kool-Aid.
You know, I don't like the Kool-Aid.
I do. Damn, diabetes ruins everything for me. That's what happens when you get a little older. You start getting like comorbidities and stuff. Like it's an issue. So now I gotta watch my sugar.
Well, you know, I'm the old lady that's like, tea's too sweet. The Kool-Aid's too, you know, so I'm that girl. You know, because
I just want to stab you in the neck.
Well, stab me in the neck.
Okay, but you're like that with the sugar. And I'm just all like, I can't get enough. I want more sugar. But then you're like that with the salt.
I used to be.
Have you gotten better?
I have actually not salted a dish in probably 2 years.
Oh my God, listeners. I just want to tell you that this is freaking amazing. There's probably pigs flying. Hell has frozen over. She would take the salt shaker and just like shake and shake and shake and shake and shake and shake and shake, shake, shake. I mean, to the point where I have stopped eating, which is a big feat to get me to do, and I was staring at what point is she going to stop with the salt. Now, in her defense, well, half of the salt is on the bottom of the fries, you know, because it just rolls off or whatever.
I don't actually salt my ketchup, too.
Yeah, so that's what you told me. You were like, but if you salt your ketchup, oh my goodness. So I tried one, and I was like, it's like oh my gosh. It was
bad. Flour?
Yes, but you just love the salt. So I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I did. I actually took, you know, a better stance with my health. So realized that the salt was an issue for me. And as you get older, things that are problematic obviously jump to the forefront.
Yeah.
So that was the whole movement when my doctor had diagnosed me as being a diabetic, and I absolutely could not take the medicine. So it was either change your lifestyle or go on insulin. And that just wasn't a thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I removed the salt from my diet. I removed a lot of the sugar from my diet and started eating more healthy, and actually was able to take my levels down to, I'm no longer considered a diabetic. It's actually been removed from my medical chart.
That's amazing. And, you know, and most people can do that. I, on the other hand, even though I had lost around about 97 pounds, had made a lot of changes, had been really monitoring my blood sugars and stuff like that, I was not able to lower my glucose enough. So I am on medications.
Well, you've historically struggled with that your whole entire life.
Yeah, and I've got family history of it as well. So, you know, some people are able to do that. And of course, why would you not make healthier choices to see if you can possibly eliminate being a diabetic or the threat of it? At the same time, there are people like me that
couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Even if you'd made that transition, it really wouldn't have mattered. Yes, you're taking care of your body and you're living in a more healthy manner, but
yeah,
could you realistically become, you know, not become diabetic or not be a diabetic anymore? Then
so great that you took control of your life and, you know, just really put yourself at the forefront and made yourself a priority. Well, you know what? It is a happy medium that we must always live.
So, and wrapping up our show today, essentially, moderation is key.
Moderation is always key. Well, I mean, with some things, come on.
I don't know, girl. Moderation might always be key.
Well, moderation's not always. In certain aspects, moderation doesn't work for me.
Well, I mean, I didn't say it worked for me. I was just saying I probably should have experienced some moderation. But as always, guys, please do follow us. Go to asiliveandbreathe.com. Drop us a line. Sign up for the newsletter. We would really love to hear from you.
And you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, Google, all the big podcatchers. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time.
See you next week, guys.